You ever felt alone or felt abandoned, like no one was there for you, or you were in such a tough time, a difficult time in your life where you felt like you didn't have anywhere to turn? I don't know if you can relate to this, maybe on a smaller scale, maybe there's been some major things that have happened in your life. Sport to play. If you've ever wrestled or watched a wrestling match, you see these guys and they're out there in these really disgusting uniforms and they're wrestling around with another person. But the bottom line with wrestling is it's these two guys and they're going at it and it's one against the other and the winner gets the triumph. He did it all. He accomplished it. He pinned the person. He beat him mercilessly. And the loser has to get up and shamefully walk to the center and hold their hand out and shake hands while the other hand goes up and their hand goes down. And there's times in our lives where we feel this forsaken, this alone, this so abandoned by people, where we think there's nobody there to listen to us. There's nobody there that understands what we're going through. There's nobody there that can comfort us. And maybe there's some times in your life where you've experienced something like this. What I want us to see is Jesus. Jesus on the cross. We're going to look at some passages of scripture here in Matthew chapter 27. And I want us to read Jesus on the cross being abused, being mocked, being laughed at. We're going to see some words that he uses and the idea here of being forsaken. I want you to see here. Will you stand to your feet if you're able to do so? If you found Matthew chapter 27, we're going to start reading in verse number 37. And so if you're able to stand, I invite you to do that. Matthew chapter 27. I'm going to go from this version here today. Matthew 27, starting in verse 37. It says, above his head, they put up the charge against him in writing, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews," mocking him. This is what he had said, right? He's King of the Jews. He is Jesus. Verse 38, then two criminals were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. Those who passed by were yelling insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, you who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. Verse 41 says, in the same way, the chief priests with the scribes and the elders mocked him and said, he saved others, but he cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross and we will believe in him. 43, he trusts in God. Say that with me. He trusts in God. He trusts in God, let God rescue him now, if he takes pleasure in him. For he said, I am the Son of God. In the same way, even the criminals who were crucified with him taunted him. I want to pause there and pray. God, I thank you for what you did for us. I thank you for living the perfect life, a sinless life, and going to the cross for my sins and the sins of this world. God, I thank you for paying the price for me. I thank you for taking the mocking and the beating. I thank you, God, for going through the suffering so that we could live on, so that we could accept your gift of salvation, so that we could be free. Thank you, God, for paying the price for each one of us. Help us, God, today to understand this, to draw close to you. I pray for your Holy Spirit to move in this place, to move in those that are watching online, to draw them to surrender to you. If there's anyone here, anyone watching that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, they never accepted your gift of salvation, I pray that today they would receive you. I pray for Christians who maybe have gone through life feeling alone, feeling abandoned. I pray that today, God, they would sense your presence and that your Holy Spirit would speak in a special way to them. Bless us today. In your name we pray. Amen. As you're being seated, I want you to think about this. That term that was used there, verse 43, says, he trusts in God. You repeated it after me a while ago. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him. That translation there of he trusts in God, it literally means to convince or to rely on with inward certainty or to have full confidence in. Complete trust. Jesus had complete trust in his heavenly Father. Complete trust, complete confidence in what God. He had an inward certainty of what God wanted him to do, that he was doing what God had told him to do, that he completely trusted God. You remember, you know, in the garden before when he's praying, like if there's any way, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me, right? But not my will, but your will be done. So he goes to the cross willfully trusting, complete certainty in his heavenly Father. That God, what your plan is, I'm gonna surrender to your will and to your plan. There's some things that we can learn from this today that I think when we feel this alone and we feel abandoned and we feel like no one's there, when we understand this complete trust in God, we understand that as a believer, you can put your complete trust, you can be fully convinced that God has, and have full confidence in God. There's so many scriptures throughout, so many verses in the scriptures that teach us this, that we have this complete trust. We can fully trust him, that he loves us, that he cares for us, that he has our best in his mind. A couple verses later that we, in that same chapter in Matthew 27, look with me. Matthew 27, but look down to verses 45 and 46. It says, from noon until 3 in the afternoon, darkness came over the whole land. About 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is, my God, why have you abandoned me? We go from complete trust, he trusts in, to God, why have you abandoned me? God, why have you turned your back on me? God, why am I alone? Can you sense the urgency and the distress in those words? Why? Why have you forsaken me? Why have you abandoned? Why have you turned your back on me? We understand the bigger picture. All these years later, we read the scripture and we understand what was happening. We understand that he was paying the price for you and for me. And Jesus hanging there on the cross is in this moment of full abandon, fully alone, fully, God has fully turned his back and let him take the sins of the world on himself. Your sins, my sins, he was paying the price for all of us. And so as we step back and look at this, the massive picture, the price that was being paid, Jesus was taking your sin, my sin, the sins of this world. He was paying them for you and for me. He loved you so much. He loves us so much. And yet, listen, in our own lives, when you start to think, let's just think individually, if you were to think about your life and your circumstances and the things that you're going through and the problems that you're having or that you're surrounded with, there are times where we feel this alone and we feel this abandonment and we feel like we've been forsaken. But think back to the bigger picture of it all, that God loves you, that God has a plan for you, that God cares for you. We only see part of the story, but there's so much more. And God's looking from a whole different perspective and a whole different elevation. And he's looking down and he knows the things you're going through. He knows the things that you, the way that you feel. He knows the things that you feel alone in. He knows the way that you feel forsaken. You feel like you've been abandoned and you feel like nobody hears you and nobody cares about the struggles you're going through. I don't know about you. There's some times that I can think back, some dark times in my heart and in my life where I thought no one cares and no one's listening and no one understands this that I'm going through. And maybe you're here today and you've gone through some of those times. I want you to understand that you can put your full confidence in a God who loves you and a God who cares for you. You're here for a reason today. You're watching online for a reason today. You may feel alone. You may feel abandoned, but God loves you. God cares for you. God has a plan for you. If your life maybe hasn't turned out the same way that you wanted it to. Maybe there's some things that went the opposite way that you wanted them to go. There's some struggles that you've dealt with. There's some hurts that you have. There's some times that you look back on with just sincere pain and regret and agony. I want you to understand today that you're only seeing part of the story. That God has a bigger plan for you. God has a bigger purpose for you. That God loves you. And no matter what has happened, he's there for you. You're only seeing part of the story. There's a scripture in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12. It says, now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. But listen to the second part. Then we shall see face to face. Now, we see as in a mirror, as this poor reflection, I can't really make it out. Then we're going to see face to face. The next part of that verse says, now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. We only know part of the story. We're only experiencing this right now. There may be some hurt right now, but one day, look, we know that there's a bigger picture. We know that God has our best in mind. We know that he's there for us, that he loves us, that he cares for us. Isaiah 55, listen to what it says. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. That God's thoughts and God's ways are so much higher and so much different than ours. And so when we think about what we're going through and we try to put it through our human lens of, oh, but I'm dealing with this and I have this problem and I feel this hurt and I feel so alone. The scripture says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. He says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. But yet we get caught in this trap of believing that we're all alone and believing that there's nobody there and believing that God really doesn't care about me and God's letting me go through all these problems and he doesn't see me. Listen, his ways and his thoughts are higher or different than ours. He cares. He loves you. He hears you. He's there for you. I want you to think with me today, to remember when you just don't understand, there's three things that I want you to put into your brain, and maybe you write them down. If you got the app, the notes are online. But I want you to think about this. When we just don't understand, you're going through stuff and you feel alone, you feel defeated, you feel like nobody cares and nobody's there for you. I just don't understand God. I don't understand why this problem happened. I don't understand why I feel alone. I don't understand how this could happen. When I was in middle school wrestling, I wrestled a guy named David Felix. He was the best wrestler I've ever seen in the history of the world. All right. He was so strong. He was stronger than an ox and a tree and everything that you could think. This guy had muscles on top of his muscles. And I had to wrestle David Felix. And he beat me in 4 seconds. He threw me to the ground and pinned me on the ground faster than I could say anything. And I was just like, I don't know how he did that. And when I felt his pure muscles just throwing me to the ground, it hurt so bad. And I was a good wrestler. I was undefeated up until that point. He threw me to the ground and he pinned me so fast. And I remember putting this video on the screen and my dad at home, we had a VHS tape and pushed it in there. Some of you remember these things. It's like a tape. It's kind of like nothing that you know of today, all right? We put it in there and we pushed play and we watched it on the TV. And I watched myself getting slung to the ground. And then I rewound it and we watched it again. And then I slammed to the ground and he rewound it and he slow-mo'd it. So frame by frame, watching myself just fly through the air, land on the ground and get pinned. And I watched that probably a million times, back and forth. And my dad's telling me, like, what can you learn from this? I'm like, I can learn not to get on the mat with David Felix because this dude is a machine, right? He just crushed me. But I watched and I was like, I learned from watching myself just getting smashed over and over and going, what am I doing? I had to wrestle him 2 more times. And so the next time when I got on the mat with David Felix, I didn't do the same thing, and I lasted a lot longer, all right? He didn't just throw me right to the ground because I knew what he was going to go. He tried to do the same thing, but then I went to grab him, and it was like just grabbing a tree trunk that was in the ground so far, and he wouldn't move. I think about this feeling that he beat me once really fast, twice took a little longer, third time, beat me, but it was to the end of the match. And I look back and I remember the feeling of standing up and grabbing his hand and just feeling so alone and so disappointed and so frustrated and so like, I tried so hard. I did all I could to accomplish, to beat this, to beat this person, to overcome this problem. I just don't understand. And sometimes we've got to wrap our arms around things in a different way. We've got to understand that there's a bigger picture out there. There's a bigger picture that God, a plan that God has for us. And we can't sit and soak in the problems and in the feeling of alone and the feeling of sadness and feeling like I've been forsaken, and understand that we serve a God who loves us, that cares for us. So what I want you to remember today, when we don't understand, there's three things. The first one is that God is good. God is good. He is a good God. In fact, in Mark 10:18, it says, no one is good except God alone. We serve a God who is good, and he has our best interest in mind. He cares for us. He loves us. He wants to be there and to show us the way, show us the path, and help us to make the right choices. We serve a God who is good. And sometimes I think that he's just up there with this like laser pointer, like, yeah, zap him. He's being bad again, and get rid of that one and make that problem make it worse. God is a good God. He loves us, and he wants us to point our heart's attention to him. He wants us in these moments of feeling alone and feeling abandoned. He wants us to turn to him and say, God, I know you're a good God. I know that you care for me. I know that you love me. We got to understand that he is good. And number two, he is for me. He's for you. God is for us. If God is for us, who can be against us? Is what it says in Romans chapter 8, verses 31. And then verse 32 says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? God is for me. He cares for me. He loves me. He loves you. And so in moments of feeling alone, in moments where you feel abandoned and you feel forsaken and you feel like nobody's listening and nobody understands the things that I'm going through, God is for you. God loves you. God has a plan for you. God cares for you. If you hear me today, you're at home and you feel alone. You're sitting in this room and you're going, you don't understand the things that I'm dealing with. You're right, I don't, but I serve a God who is so good and a God who is so for you and a God who loves you so no matter what, and no matter what feeling you're going through, no matter how alone you feel or how defeated you feel or how forsaken you feel, God is for you. He cares for you.
Amen.
God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son. He cares for you. He loves you. Paid the price for your sins and my sins. He went to that cross and took the beating and the abuse for you and for me. And so as we go through life and we feel alone and we feel abandoned and we feel like there's nobody there, he is for me. But lastly this morning, he is with me. And this is huge. Because we can go through life and think, yeah, God is a good God, and yeah, he cares about me. He's up there just whatever. But God is with me. Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you, he says in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. He'll never leave you, he'll never forsake you. And so in those moments where we're alone, in the moments where we're standing on the mat and we've been defeated, we're standing there and we feel alone and we feel like nobody's on our side and we feel like we can't overcome the problem, no matter what's going on in your heart and your life, no matter what you're dealing with, the struggles that you're going through, he is with you. He is with you. I printed this off, and I want you to kind of look at this. Look at this. Maybe, hopefully, everybody can see this. Let's see what it says.
Nowhere.
Right? A lot of times, we go through life, and we feel alone, and we feel defeated, and we feel forsaken, and we feel like we're not feeling this, God is for me, God is with me, and we're feeling this nowhere. He's nowhere. He's not in this. He's not helping me through this problem. He's not working in this situation. But I want you to look at it again, because it doesn't just say nowhere. What else could it say? It says he's now here. Exactly. And so I think about that, and I think about the perspective change, and I think about in my life when there's times where I feel alone or times where I felt abandoned, he's here. He's here. God is with me, and he is for me, and he loves me, and he cares for me. He said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. That means even in the darkest of moments, I can trust that God loves me and that God is there for me. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, a very powerful scripture. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. He's with me. He's guiding me. He's showing me. He's there in the battle. He's there when I feel alone. He's there when I feel forsaken. He's there when I feel depressed. And when I feel like everyone's turned their backs on me, God is with me. God loves me. He's a good God, and he's for me, and he's helping me through it. Can you see this today? That no matter what you're dealing with, that you serve a God that we can put your complete confidence and complete trust in, that he loves you so much, that he cares for you, that he has a plan for you, and that you are not alone. You're not. You're not as alone as we feel. We separate ourselves from things in life, and God is the one. He's saying, I'm there for you. Just trust in me. Put your faith in me. Put your cry out to me. I'm there with you. I'm there for you. I love you. The better we know God, listen to this. The more we know him, the better we know God, the more we learn his scriptures and put our faith and our trust in him, the less we ask why. And the more we ask what. Why is this happening to me? Why is this going this way? Why do I feel alone? Why did this problem happen? Why did this go away? Why didn't you answer my prayer? Why didn't you get me through this? Why is this going this way? I asked for this and I got this. Why? Ever fall into that trap? I know I do. But I wonder if you stop and you think about this. What is it, God, that you have for me? What's your plan? What can I do? What can I say? How can I draw closer to you, God? The better I know him, the more I ask what, and the less I ask why. God has a plan, and he has a purpose, and he's showing, he's leading, he's drawing us to him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, it says, as God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God.
Amen.
That we would be more righteous, that we would make decisions to follow him, that we would ask him, what can I do, instead of why did this happen, and what can I say, and what can I do with my life, and how can I be better for you? God, show me your path and your plan. What is it that you have for me? God's a good God. He's for me. He's with me. How will that change today? When you leave this service today, there may be some things and feelings of feeling alone or feeling depressed or feeling like you're struggling with things. And I wonder if this reminder to you today that we serve a God that's good and we serve a God that's for you and you serve a God that's with you, that I wonder how it would change your perspective as you leave and as you go back to your jobs and you go back to your homes and your relationships and whatever struggles you're going through, that you would just put it through the lens of God, I trust you. And as I take steps back to your bigger picture, I just trust your plan and your way. And I don't want to know why this happened in my life, but I just want to know what I can do now. God, what is it that you want me to do? What can I say for you? How can I live for you in a different way? What would God say to you if you just open your hands and say, God, instead of trying to figure it all out, I just surrender to a God who's good and a God who loves me and a God who is for me. If you're here today, you're watching online, you're not a Christian, I just beg you to understand what Jesus did for you on that cross. When you see the abuse that was taken, you see the way they mocked him and the way that he hung there between two criminals, a guy who had not sinned at all. He was paying the price for your sin. And the Bible says anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You can call on him today. You can cry out to him. In this time of invitation, in just a moment, you can come or you can sit at the altar, or sit where you are, or you come to the altar and just say, God, I surrender my life to you. I invite you to be my savior. I want you to save me for all eternity. I know I'm a sinner. I know I've messed up, and I want you to forgive me of my sin. Thank you for paying the price on the cross for me. Will you save me? And we cry out to him, he will do that. If you're here, you're watching online, and you've never done that, today is the day of salvation. This is your moment, your opportunity to say, I'm not gonna go through life feeling alone and feeling forsaken. I'm gonna accept this gift from the God who loves me and a God who is for me. God, I want him to save me forever. God, save me for all eternity. I wanna spend forever with you in heaven. And I wanna go through life not feeling alone. I wanna go through life with this God who is for me and a God who is with me. And so I wonder if Christians in the room, if today, maybe you need to kneel at the altar or kneel at the pew where you're at and just surrender and say, God, there are some things that I've pulled back. There are some things where I've asked why. There's some things where I don't understand, but the bigger picture, I understand that you love me, that you care for me, and that you've got a plan. And I just want to trust you today. I wonder if we took a different perspective of just surrender and releasing it to the God who loves us and cares for us. I wonder if our lives would be different. I wonder if this feelings of feeling alone and abandoned and forsaken would change if we just grabbed hold of the fact that we can trust him, that we can put our unwavering confidence in him, that we can have complete trust in a God who loves us and cares for us.